At Public.com, you can earn 5.1% APY with a high-yield cash account. And while we can't say it's officially the highest interest rate out there, we can say this. It's higher than Robinhood, SoFi, Wealthfront, Capital One, and the big banks, too. Ready to start earning 5.1% APY on your cash? Check out the high-yield cash account on Public.com. This is paid for by Public Investing. 5.1% APY as of March 26, 2024, and is subject to change. A high-yield cash account is a secondary brokerage account with Public Investing, member FINRA/SIPC. Funds from this account are automatically deposited into partner banks where they earn a variable interest and are eligible for FDIC insurance. Neither Public Investing nor any of its affiliates is a bank. U.S. only. Learn more at public.com/disclosure/high-yield-account.
How do you like those Facebook updates now, huh? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdal. It is Thursday today, the third day of February. Good as always to have you along, everybody. And let me see if I can take maybe 30 seconds here and tie up some loose ends on this economic day. Maybe make some things make sense. First of all, obviously, the stock market, also obviously not great. Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg. Shares of Meta, which we all used to call Facebook, off 26.4% today after a lousy earnings report yesterday that had what you might call, tongue firmly in cheek here, a trickle-down effect. Pretty much everywhere. Other tech shares, of course, but the broader market as well. So that is thread one. Thread two happened early this morning, America time, when the Bank of England raised its key interest rate for the second meeting in a row, but that wasn't really the big news out of that meeting. The big news out of the BOE today was that almost half of the interest rate setting committee members wanted to raise rates half a percentage point, that is to say double what they got bumped. And we all know how traders feel about higher interest rates, right? We do, right? We've talked about that? Okay, yes. All right. Real quick, thread number three, because I'm pretty sure I'm over the promised 30 seconds. Oil. The U.S. benchmark West Texas Intermediate closed above $90 a barrel today. First time that has happened since 2014. Okay, there is a fourth thread, actually, but it kind of goes without saying by now, inflation and what that's going to mean for you and me. We have been hearing from companies right and left in this economy about higher prices yet to come. Starbucks, Procter & Gamble, Levi's as well. All of them, though, fairly giant conglomerates. So Marketplace's Justin Ho asked a couple of smaller businesses where their prices are headed in this year ahead.
When weddings, parties, and in-person work started coming back last year, the clothing supplier David Donahue Menswear went from having warehouses full of items to not having enough.
Of something as simple as a black bow tie to wear with a tuxedo, or the shirt.
That's Rob Donahue, president of David Donahue Menswear. To make matters worse, he says shipping costs are skyrocketing. This month, for example, he says he spent $27,000 to ship one container of merchandise.
Bear in mind that in February of 2020, that same service cost $3,700.
Donahue's raw materials are getting more expensive, too. So last October, the company decided to hike prices by 7%. Now he's worried that might not be enough.
6 weeks after we made that decision, the price of the main raw material, U.S. Supima cotton, spiked by another 50 or 60%.
Donahue's hands are kind of tied. Given the seasonal market for clothes, he has to set his prices months in advance. So, for example,
on the main component, the main driver of our business, men's shirts, we are not able to take that price increase until July.
A lot of suppliers are planning price hikes later this year. Natasha Amott owns a kitchenware store in New York called Whisk. She says her suppliers have typically raised prices once every few years. Now, companies that raised their prices last summer are emailing her again.
Going into 2022, we're getting those same suppliers saying, so sorry, we have to do another round of price increases.
And then there are those skyrocketing shipping costs.
For the first time ever, we're seeing freight surcharges.
Amott says they started showing up last summer, and suppliers were hoping they'd only last about 6 months.
We're now, in many cases, about 6 months into those temporary surcharges, and they're still here.
Amott is raising prices at WISC to help cover the higher costs of goods, but she's not passing on those freight charges to her customers, in large part because they fluctuate a lot.
And so to really build in the freight charges, it would be just a lot of number crunching on a daily basis. And frankly, we just don't have time for that.
Because some costs have been fluctuating so wildly lately, a lot of business owners can't figure out what their profit margin is going to be. Giovanni Prince's company, the Cracker King, makes gluten-free crackers. And the prices of ingredients, including sorghum, tapioca flour, and potato starch, are all rising.
So to really have a price point, a steady price point, so you can really know your profit margin, is not easy. I mean, it's fluctuating from each order to order to order.
What Prince can control is the cost of production. So last November, he moved his operation from a shared kitchen in Portland, Oregon, to a commercial facility in Texas.
Basically, you hand over your recipe, you hand over all your ingredients, and you say, make it better.
That means Prince doesn't have to hire cooking staff, and he's making a lot more product now.
They're able to do a lot more numbers in a lot shorter of time. Like with anything, the more numbers and the faster it goes, the lower the prices.
Prince says those lower costs gave him the wiggle room to avoid having to raise prices this year.
When you start doing that, then you know you price yourself out of the market. I think that's one of the last resorts that you kind of go to at a certain point.
Even without raising prices, the Cracker King will turn a profit for the first time since Prince founded the company 5 years ago. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
On Wall Street today, yeah, forget about it. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. Last year, about this time, our man in Austin, Andy Euler, had to retreat to his cousin's house when his own power went out. So far, I'm happy to be able to report so good for Mr. Euler as another winter storm hits the distinctly unwinterized Texas economy. The power grid failed last year, as you remember, left millions of people without power for days and killed more than 200 people. The state legislature in Texas did pass a couple of bills to try to winterize the grid, and last fall, Governor Greg Abbott promised the lights would stay on. Well, fast forward to now, and Abbott has recanted, acknowledging that, in fact, no one can guarantee, that is his quote, no one can guarantee that there aren't going to be any blackouts. So Andy's assignment today, for as long as his power lasts, was to talk to some Texans about how they are preparing this time around.
The cold front that just moved in is bringing some bad memories with it for Adrienne Yule.
We have lingering trauma from last year where we're really worried about that worst-case scenario happening again.
Yule lives just north of Fort Worth with her husband, 11-year-old daughter, and 7-year-old son. She says when the power went out at her house last year, the family packed up and went to stay at her father-in-law's place an hour and a half away. When they returned the next day, they were greeted with 2 inches of water throughout the house. A pipe in their attic had frozen, then burst. It took more than 6 months to get their house repaired. She says this year,
we have a different plan, though. If something did happen and we lost power for a significant amount of time like we did last year, we would not leave.
Because of all the damage last year's storm caused, businesses like Radiant Plumbing and Air Conditioning in Austin have had to adapt. Ken Price is the director of operations there.
You know, we have technicians that we've set up to do virtual calls with customers that have water leaks, you know, and walking them through how to go in and cut the water off.
Forecasters say this storm is not as cold, not as large geographically, and won't go on for as long as last year, so it really shouldn't strain the system the same way. Politicians, utility executives, and those of us who just live here hope those forecasts are right. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Among the small businesses we've been following through the course of this pandemic, if 2020 was the year of the pivots, of figuring out how to survive, and 2021 was the year of hanging on to survive, maybe, just maybe, 2022 is going to be the year of figuring out which of those pandemic pivots are going to become permanent. Carolyn Walker is the CEO of Response Marketing, an ad agency in New Haven, Connecticut. Carolyn, it's good to have you back on.
Hi, Kai. Thanks for having me.
So give us the update. How was 2021 for you?
Oh, wow. Loaded question. 2021,
It was not meant to be. I apologize.
No, that's quite all right. You know, obviously 2020 was really tough on us. Yeah. And came out of 2020 all right. And then 2021 actually hasn't been bad for us at all. We learned a lot through this pandemic, for sure.
Well, let's get to the learning side of this thing. One of the big ones is that last time you and I spoke, you had just decided to, or were about to, physically go completely remote.
That's right.
How has that worked out?
It's actually worked out better than I thought. The things that were weighing on my mind and were big concerns to me ended up not being that big of a deal at all. And the things that I wasn't really worried about ended up being issues. It was interesting.
So, yeah. Give me a couple of for instances.
Okay. So the things that I thought wouldn't be that big of a deal were, you know, the separation, right? Like physically being separated from each other, mm-hmm. and not having so much socialization with your coworkers and things like that. And that ended up being a really big deal, especially for me. I really felt very isolated at times. Hmm. And I have to say, last winter was one of the hardest winters for me that I've ever had. I was actually pretty depressed. And so this year I decided to head south and get into the warmer weather and get some sun, and which is a benefit of being 100% remote.
Yeah, for sure. All right. But look, so that's you as the boss having a tough time. I imagine lots of people down the chain from you are having a tough time, too. But you're also the boss, yeah. and you saved a bunch of money, I'm sure.
Yeah, we did. You know, the space that we were renting, we saved money on parking because we're in a downtown mm-hmm. Location. We saved on, you know, all the expenses that you can imagine with running an office, from, you know, electricity to your, you know, internet connection, all of that. So it was, you know, a big savings to the tune of about $60,000.
Oh, that's not chicken feed. So, but look, are you gonna try to find the happy medium somewhere?
Yeah. So, we've already actually employed that. So, you know, it's been a little bit of an up and down yeah. because of the different variations of the virus, you know, and so as things have gotten more intense with the pandemic, we have leaned more into just staying home, whereas the times where it seemed to be a little bit safer, we ended up doing things together. So mm-hmm. we did fun things together, you know, just going out and like reconnecting from a social perspective. We also got together in person to actually work together at cooperative workplaces that we have access to.
How has it worked on the creative side of your business, right? Because advertising and marketing, yeah. it's you know, you got to come up with ideas. And it can be tough staring at a Zoom screen, believe me when I tell you, as you know, to make that happen.
Yeah, that was my a big, big concern of mine going into the pandemic. And, you know, how the heck are we going to do this? Are our ideas going to be as creative as we were before? But in fact, our creative has never been stronger. You know, we did a lot to put things in place to help make sure that we didn't lose that ability to be highly creative.
Do you suppose, just in terms of running your business, that this is kind of the way it's going to be from now on? There's going to have to be some flex, but also hybrid, and we're going to have to make it work, right? You're just going to have to do that.
I do. And I think that, you know, the workforce is demanding it, to be honest with you. You know, like if you can't be flexible as an employer, I think you're really going to be limited with who you can, you know, attract and retain. So I think it is the way business is going to be run from now on. I don't think you have a choice.
Carolyn Walker, she runs a marketing agency in Connecticut, but also sometimes in warmer climes, I guess, now that she's at least partly remote. It's called Response. Carolyn, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Kai.
Coming up.
They just raised our wages, which I'm super excited about.
I mean, yeah, I would be too, right? First, though, let's do the numbers. I don't know how you don't get the wah-wahs today. Once again, I'm in charge of nothing around here. The Dow Industrial's down 518 points, almost 1.5%, 35,111. The NASDAQ gave up 538 points off a much smaller base, right? That's almost 3.75%, 13,878. The NASDAQ dripped 111 points lower, 2.4%, 44.77. Terrible day for tech. As I said, after Facebook's parent company Meta announced disappointing results after the bell yesterday, including the fact that for the first time in the company's history, going back 18 years, Facebook is of age now. Anyway, Facebook lost users for the first time ever. Meta down 26.4%, as I said. Other tech companies as well. Twitter down 5.6%. Snap down more than 23%. Pinterest down 10.3% today. Amazon down 7.8%, despite the announcement of a new internet hosting deal with Best Buy. Bond prices were down as well. Yield on the 10-year T-note thus up 1.83%. You're listening to Marketplace.
Looking for the highest interest rate on your cash? At Public.com, you can earn 5.1% APY with a high-yield cash account. And while we can't say it's officially the highest interest rate out there, we can say this. It's a higher rate than Robinhood, a higher rate than SoFi, a higher rate than Marcus, a higher rate than Wealthfront, frankly, a higher rate than Capital One, a higher rate than Ally, a higher rate than Barclays, a way higher rate than Bank of America and Chase, a higher rate than Citi, Wells Fargo, Discover, and it's a higher rate than American Express, too. So if you want to start earning 5.1% APY on your cash, check out public.com. We can't say it's the highest interest rate, but it's pretty darn up there. This is paid for by Public Investing. 5.1% APY as of March 26, 2024, and is subject to change. A high-yield cash account is a secondary brokerage account with Public Investing, member FINRA/SIPC. Funds from this account are automatically deposited into partner banks where they earn a variable interest and are eligible for FDIC insurance. Neither Public Investing nor any of its affiliates is a bank. U.S. only. Learn more at public.com/disclosure/high-yield-account.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. January jobs will be the big picture economic headline tomorrow, and it is probably going to be distinctly meh because of Omicron, of course. As of our most recent snapshot of the American labor force, that would be the December report, which we got just after New Year's, 3.9% of the workforce was unemployed, 6.3 million people that works out to. Who are all looking for work at a time when there is a near record high number of job openings and companies are desperate to hire, both of which mean this is a really good time to be out looking for a job. So who in this economy do you suppose is still unemployed and why? We asked Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman to find out.
One group of unemployed people will always be with us from just basic labor market churn, people losing and leaving jobs because of slack business or a corporate change of direction. That's what just landed on Mary Higby of Plano, Texas.
I am 44 years old, no kids, one husband who does work full time, and a dog who does not work.
2 weeks ago, she lost the marketing communications job she's had for more than 3 years.
The choice was made for me, we can say, and it was definitely sudden.
She's got more than 20 years experience and was making six figures. Being unemployed isn't something she's familiar with.
I did take a couple days, and I don't want to say, you know, licked my wounds. I wasn't around having a pity party, but kind of wrapping my head around, you know, what am I looking for?
Then she hit her contact list and LinkedIn. She's confident her skills are in high demand and she'll find something soon at the same pay or higher.
I don't feel it'll be that difficult.
But getting re-employed can be difficult for workers in sectors hard hit by the pandemic, like leisure and hospitality, which has 1.2 million fewer jobs now than it did in February 2020 and lags many other sectors in job postings. All that's been hard on 37-year-old Tristan Haas.
I've been in the hospitality industry my entire career, restaurants, cafes, and for the last almost 16 years, hotels.
Haas was managing a hotel in Washington, D.C. until it shut down at the beginning of the pandemic. He went on unemployment, then got a job opening a new hotel in Atlanta, but in September of last year, he lost that job. He's been applying for hospitality jobs locally, no luck so far. He's gotten some interest from senior living centers, but offering a lot less money.
I'm okay with some pay cut. You know, it's not the end of the world to me, but it's a stressful time. Not having benefits, not having health care.
With headline unemployment super low at 3.9%, it might seem like the best of times for anyone who wants a job. But that rosy scenario masks heightened difficulties, says Bill Rogers, director of the Institute for Economic Equity at the St. Louis Fed.
If you look at adults who have no more than a high school degree, the share of them who are working has not returned to its pre-pandemic level.
Also,
Blacks, Latinos, young people, people with disabilities, the Black unemployment rate's twice that of the white unemployment, even in good times.
More than twice as high in December, when white unemployment was 3.2% and Black unemployment 7.1%. Alongside the more than 6 million people who are unemployed right now, millions of others who were working before the pandemic have dropped out of the labor force. A main reason for that is providing family care in the time of COVID. 41-year-old Derek Bondurant was teaching high school in Portland, Oregon until the pandemic. His wife works remotely for a nonprofit. They have a 3-year-old son, Benny.
Now I'm at home and trying to keep the kid quiet enough so that she can do calls. I also coach a lot of Ultimate Frisbee. It's great because it gets me out of the house.
This was not the plan.
We were always both going to be working as much as possible and then, you know, use that money to pay for childcare. And I certainly never anticipated that I would be home with a really young child as a stay-at-home dad.
There is a teacher shortage, so jobs are available, but there's also COVID.
You know, if I was able to get a teaching job and they were able to find someone that was able to come in and take care of Benny, like what happens if they get exposed? And then how would we substitute for them? And then which one of us would have to like take time off? You know, would it be like me is like brand new at a new job?
So for now, he's one more potential worker derailed by the pandemic, boosting the ranks of the not employed. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Okay, one more quick job story before tomorrow morning's January report. This past summer, we talked about how teenagers had been a bright spot in this recovery. Back in May, the unemployment rate for 16 to 19-year-olds hit the lowest it had been since the 1950s. It is a little higher now, yes, with school in session. Still lower, though, than in the before times. So we have called Anisha Edwards back up. She is 19 now, a college freshman in Louisville, Kentucky.
This semester, I am taking 18 credit hours, which is the most that I'm allowed to take at my school. Between work, school, and extracurriculars, it's quite a bit, but I think I can get through it. I do have a full tuition scholarship, but between housing and required meal plans and every other fee that I have to deal with, it's still a lot. That's where about the $10,000 worth of debt a year comes from. I'm honestly used to living off of credit cards. It's not ideal, but at least I'll have a longer credit history. But it does kind of hurt to not be able to spend my own money like I used to before I started college. It's just me getting more into debt and then trying to get out of it just a little bit so I don't get in trouble, and then getting into more debt whenever I have to buy something else. I am a pharmacy technician at a retail pharmacy in a grocery store, and I have been at this job for 2 to 3 months now. I've been working since I turned 16 in high school, but this is the first job where I feel like I could stay for a long time and still enjoy it, especially because they just raised our wages, which I'm super excited about. I get to learn at my job, and I feel like that's most important for me personally. I definitely believe we're still in an economy that benefits job seekers. With my first pharmacy tech job, I quit after a day. And before, I never would have done that. My philosophy was always to stay at least 6 months to a year. But if a job isn't treating you right and you know it's not going to in the future, it's completely okay to leave and find another job, because jobs desperately need people to work them. And I can't see that changing anytime soon until our economy, our society starts treating workers better and how they should be treated.
Anisha Edwards there, going to school and dropping some wisdom in Louisville, Kentucky. This final note on the way out today, in which one flows neatly from the other. Item the first, Amazon reported earnings after the bell today. Top line revenue, that is before expenses, basically. And it occurs to me we should do an explainer on EBITDA, but that's a whole different thing. Anyway, top line revenue at Amazon for the last 3 months of 2021, $137.4 billion. In 3 months, about $14 billion straight up profit. That gets me to item the second, Amazon Prime members, of which, full disclosure, I am one. It's going up $20, $139 a year, starting real soon. All right, we're going. Here, though, is your moment of economic context, about which, caveat emptor, TurboTax and Coinbase, the crypto wallet company, are teaming up to let you get your tax refund this year in cryptocurrency. I am not anti-crypto, as I have been accused of being, but ask yourself this question. Would you take your paycheck right now in Bitcoin? Would you? Do you feel lucky? Anyway, Amir Bibawi, John Buckley, Eve Epstein, John Gordon, Rick Carr, and Diantha Parker are the Marketplace editing staff. I'm Kai Rizdal. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.